Hello, William. Hey, it's me, Battery Laws of Robotics. Well, if you remember, after I left you, we had they had made a plan, and that was Tamara O'Toole Talltale, Dr. O'Toole Talltale, had made a plan to have everybody meet at Solomon Cuttlefish's lab at Washington Gumption University. So she had GP and Igglypop ready to go. She had Clem Goodlight, Dr. Goodlight, and his wife decided, Xue Huang, that she'd go too, because she could sing to Igglypop and they could talk together. And then they had Solomon Cuttlefish was going to come along, and he was going to bring the Ayatsuri Ningyo robot, Squeaky Toy. And they were all going to make up a plan for how they could work with the Motorbots and get them working so that, after all, they could take off, Igglypop could take off and fly back to Janaka Palala. So that's what they did. They all got together that morning. So first thing, GP woke up and made a big pot of coffee, because you know we found Igglypop really likes coffee. And he made a big pot of coffee, and then Igglypop drank that down, and then he took off with GP to Washington Gumption University. And then Clem Goodlight got up, and Clem decided he'd just go spend the day at Solomon Cuttlefish's lab. He didn't even call into his office to say he wasn't coming in, because he figured he didn't have any students that day. He didn't have a class. He didn't have any students. They just figured he was doing research and they'd leave him alone. So he went in, and Xue Huang decided she'd go too. Good thing she works for herself, because she could take the day off and nobody had to worry about her getting into work. Then her kids got off to school, and she got little Buster off to daycare. Then she took off with Clem Goodlight, going to Washington Gumption University to the robotics lab. And then Solomon Cuttlefish drove over to Dr. Talltale's house, and he said, Tara, we're ready to go. And then Tara Tomorrow Tool Talltale, Dr. O'Toole Talltale, came out, and she came out with the Ningyo robot, Squeaky Toy. And they climbed into the car with Solomon Cuttlefish, and they took off to Washington Gumption University for the big meeting. And they all showed up and all went into the big meeting room at the robotics lab at Washington Gumption University. And then Solomon Cuttlefish closed the door, and he sat down, and he said, "Well, folks, well, I guess we have to introduce ourselves, and we have to get going, because we have to help this space alien creature from Janaka Palala get home." And so they all introduced themselves again. Well, Tara Tamara O'Toole Talltale had not met Igglypop. And when she saw this huge 7-foot space alien creature walk in, she didn't know what to think, with his wriggly hair and his nose mouth. But she was very polite. And she walked over and he shook his big hand. It's like shaking a ping pong paddle. And she said, "I'm very glad to meet you, Mr. Uber Operon. I'm really glad to meet you, and I hope we can work with you." And at that point, Igglypop, whose communicabobulator was working pretty well, said, "Woo, woo, 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 woo." And that meant, "I'm so very glad to meet you, beautiful space alien creature, and I hope we can work together, because I'm getting homesick, even though, I do like your coffee." At which point, GP looked up, and he looked at Solomon Cuttlefish and said, "Any chance we could get some coffee in here?" Solomon Cuttlefish said, "I think so, right away." And he took off to get the big, huge pot they used in the department and bring it in full of coffee. And it was full of Skedaddle's finest roast. And they put it in, and they started making a big pot of coffee, because they'd all need some coffee for their long conference. And then Squeaky Toy came up, and he bowed. And he said, "Arigato gozaimasu. Oh, hayasu desu ne. So glad to meet you. Again, Crown Prince of Janaka Palala, Uber Operon-san." And Igglypop looked at him, and he looked up, and he said, "This is a very funny space creature. Because he's very polite and very small. Are you sure he's a robot?" And they all looked at him and said, "Oh, yes, he's a robot. He's an Ayatsuri Ningyo robot. He's the first of his kind, but he's very smart." So Igglypop didn't know what to think, because in Janaka Palala, the robots are smart. The robots can communicate, but the robots are very much single function. I mean, if you have an atmosphere drive motorbot, those motorbots know how to drive the atmospheric drive. But they're not going to do anything else. That's all they know how to do. And same thing with Talk Rob, the dashboard control bot. He can communicate with all the motorbots and report back. But, you know, don't ask him to start an engine. He doesn't know quite how. He just knows how to talk. So Igglypop was quite amazed to see this little robot bow and be so smart. And he just didn't know what to think. Well, just at that moment, while they were making introductions, while they were being so happy and slapping on the back, before they started any type of meeting to really decide what to do, who would show up at Dr. Goodlight's lab but Captain J.J. Johnstone? Because the United People's Conglomerate Military Police were looking for Iglypop. And Major Heinrich Himmelstein was sitting in his office at the UPG offices in Skedaddle. That's United People's Conglomerate Military Police, UPGMP offices. And he had sent out his captain, J.J. Johnstone, to go find the robot and find the space alien creature and find anyone who helped him, because they were all going to be arrested. He didn't know what to arrest him on, because there's no law against helping a space alien creature, but he knew they would have to be. So J.J. Johnstone, at that moment, while all the crew was having their meeting, starting with introductions and talking, J.J. Johnstone showed up at Dr. Goodlight's office. And he said, hello, is Dr. Goodlight in? And he introduced himself as J.J. Johnstone. Is Dr. Goodlight in? No, sir, he hasn't come in, said his secretaries. Well, shall I wait around? When do you expect him in? He said, well, I don't know. He hasn't come in. He may come in. We don't know if he's going to come in. He may be doing research today. Well, J.J. Johnstone said, well, I'll just sit here and wait. And he sat down in a chair, and he waited for Clem Goodlight to come into his office, which, as you know, isn't going to happen. So poor J.J. Johnstone's in for a long wait, before he finally gives up and goes back to the UPGMP offices to report into Major Heinrich Himmelstein. But that's a good thing. It's a good thing, because it doesn't interfere with the meeting. And meanwhile, I guess I have to say another meanwhile, while Iglypop was meeting with Dr. Goodlight and Solomon Cuttlefish and everybody else to try to figure out how to get him off the planet, back in Janakapalala, the chief ruling officer, Iglypop's father, Uberendathon Uberoperon, was calling up his Star Lord, Enkiwatera Epsilon-Aron. And he called him up and he said, Star-Lord Epsilon-Aron, I need you to take a space fleet. I need you to take a space fleet and find my son. And Star-Lord Epsilon-Aron said, oh, Chief Ruling Officer Uberoperon, yes, sir, I have got a space fleet already. I've got some space frigates. I've got several star cruisers that are going to go with me. I'm going to take some space patrol ships, and I have one spacecraft carrier that will come in and help us land and find your son. We're going to go. We're ready. And the chief ruling officer of Janakapalala, Uparendathon Uparoperon, said, then go. Waste no time. Find my son. Well, that was a good thing, because his wife, Jellawundathon Uparoperon, was very, very unhappy that her son was lost in space. And where is he? So the Star-Lord, Enkiwatera Epsilon-Aron, commanded his fleet, said, fleet, lift off, we're going. And simultaneously, all the starship commanders commanded their motorbots, motorbots, rev, go. And you know, these motorbots weren't unruly. They didn't say, we don't feel like it. Oh, we don't want to go. Oh, we're not going to do it. No. The atmosphere drive motorbots jumped into action and drove all of the spacecraft off the planet. Then the graviton drive motorbots went into action and drove to the nearest big star, and the ion drive motorbots were ready when they hit the space channel to light channel to take them faster than the speed of light and drive them across the known universe. So these things are all happening at once. But meanwhile, back to the meeting. So Iglypop's there, and he's looking around, and he knows everybody. He's met everybody else, and he's nodding his head. And then Shui Huang, who, as you know, has been learning Janakapalala, started singing. And what she was trying to say in Janakapalala was, dear Iglyopteron Uberoperon, our friend from outer space, who is a strange space alien creature, but is very kind and gentle nonetheless, we really want to get you to go home, because we don't think it's good for you to be here. We think you need to be with your family. Something like that. And Iglypop had his hair tentacles stand straight on end, which is a Janakapalala way of saying, oh, wow, that was amazing, because he didn't think that these strange alien creatures could ever speak a civilized language like Janakapalala, but there she was. She was singing to him. And then Clem Goodlight looked so happy. He was smiling and grinning. And Solomon Cuttlefish looked up like, "What is going on here?" He didn't understand. And then Squeaky Toy, well, he was just laughing because he'd been learning Tanaka Palalan too, but he wasn't going to let anybody know that because, well, sometimes little robots need to keep things to themselves. So they started talking. And then Solomon Cuttlefish said, "Well, I need to know everything from the background. We need to start all over so that everybody knows what we're doing." And Tara Tomorrow Tool Talltale, who, as you know, is a piezoelectronic robots expert, right? And she is a neuroelectronic psychology and interneuron communication expert. She knows how to talk to robots. As a matter of fact, she's the only person on Earth who's actually done behavioral health for robots. Not that there are many robots, but she knows all about it. She said, "Yes, I want to learn about the robots." So Igglypuff started telling him all over again how he was out in outer space and he tried to go faster than the speed of light, and the robots decided they didn't want to do that, so they shut down and he had to have an emergency landing, and dear, his good friend, space alien creature Clem Goodlight, saved him and brought him home and blah, 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 and he went on and on and on. Told the whole thing. "Oh, well, this is, oh." And then Solomon Cuttlefish said, "Yes, and I have a space cruiser in my garage, and let me tell you, it's quite a work of art. Well, we can't get it going because the robots are unruly, and they will not start." And then Squeaky Toy said, "Yes, I tried to get them going. I tried to talk reason to them, and they wouldn't start." So then Clem Goodlight said, "You know, I've been talking to Igglypuff, and I think we need to understand where he's from and where he's getting to." So he looked at Ayatsuri Ningyo Robot and said, Ayatsuri Ningyo-san, do you think you could help us figure out where Igglypuff comes from the universe?" Well, this was a very good question because Squeaky Toy, as you know, when he was talking to the unruly motorbots, he had meanwhile copied all of the space cruiser's database. That included all of the manuals, the space manuals, how to run the ship, how to run the robots, as a matter of fact, the specs for the robots, and he had copied the entire universe, cosmic, galactic, four-dimensional database that allowed Igglypuff, when he was in the light channel, to see where he was by projecting an image of the universe and him in it. Well, it didn't work in the light channel because that's the way his space cruiser was designed, but that doesn't mean that Squeaky Toy couldn't make it work, and he did. Well, have I told you that Squeaky Toy has all sorts of radio frequency capabilities? I should have, because he can listen, he can scan. Well, he also has Wi-Fi. So he looked at Solomon Cuttlefish, and he said, "Mr. Cuttlefish-san, do you have a way that I can project some of what I have inside on a big screen?" And Solomon Cuttlefish said, "Well, of course I do." And he turned on his 100-inch PC monitor, his communications monitor, and there he turned it on. And he said, "And here's my Wi-Fi channel, and here's my password." And he gave him his password. And so Squeaky Toy logged on, and he then projected Wi-Fi, projected onto the 100-inch screen, the map of the universe. Oh, my goodness. Igglypuff looked at it, and he started to get bonkers. He was like, "What? Wait, what? What's this? What's this?" He was going so fast, his communicobobulator couldn't keep up with him. But fortunately, Shui Huang was there, and she said, which meant, "Calm down, it's okay. This is just our robot doing its thing." And Igglypuff said, "What? How did that robot do that? That's on my space cruiser." And Space Squeaky Toy just looked at him and said, "Oh, well, I took the liberty of copying it." And Igglypuff said, "You what? I copied it. I put it into my memory banks." "You what?" Well, when he says "you what," it's more like "woohoo!" But his communicobobulator could keep up with that. So Squeaky Toy just smiled, and he played the universe. And they started looking at where the universe was. And they looked at all the Milky Way, because that's really where Janaka Palala and Earth and the Minwin Cholab confabulation and some of the mad spider planets and stuff, they all are in the Milky Way. Because nobody's quite made the jump from another to another galaxy. That's big. They're trying it. They're working on it. The Janaka Palalans are working on drives that'll do that. But meanwhile, they've been hanging out with the Milky Way, which, by the way, is big enough they can do this for a long time. And Clem Goodlight started looking at the universe, and he said, "Here's the Milky Way. But, well, I recognize some of it, but I don't recognize, what am I looking from?" Well, he couldn't recognize it because he was looking at the Milky Way from Janaka Palala. So he said to Squeaky Toy, he said, I got Suri Ningyo robots on. Can you rotate this map so that we can see where we are on Earth? And Squeaky Toy said, I think I can. And he went into the map and he started looking at coordinates. Well, I have to tell you, Squeaky Toy is very smart because the coordinates in this map are 5 dimensions. And, you know, we normally work in 3 dimensions, plus we add time, 4 dimensions. What's the 5th dimension? 5th dimension is light channel time, but that's another thing. We won't talk about that. But he went in and he started playing. And as he played, the Milky Way started to rotate and it started to change and it started to come to a different position. And finally he said, I think I have it. And the Milky Way zipped around and everybody saw the center of the Milky Way from the perspective of Earth. Well, I have to tell you, sweet William, that Earth is a long way out from the center of the Milky Way. It is out on a spiral arm, way away. It's so far away, nobody's even paid attention to it because they're just out there. Who knows what's out there? And the Janaka Palalans look at the night sky and they say, who the heck? Is there any intelligence out there? We don't know. Well, on Earth, we think we're pretty intelligent, but, you know, that could be discussed at length. So then Clem Goodlight said, I have a perspective, and now rotate a little more. And Squeaky Toy rotated it back to Janaka Palala. And as he rotated, Clem Goodlight said, I know where you are. I know where we are. And then he looked at Igglypuff, and he said, now tell me once again, how do your gravitron drive motorbots work? And then Igglypuff explained to them that they find a large gravity source, they lock onto that gravity source, and then they let the gravity source pull it towards them, and the gravity source pulls the space cruiser towards it at faster, faster speeds. Oh, well, if you go from here, and you go to the sun, and then you go to Alpha Centauri, and where's the biggest black hole? So Igglypuff looked at the map, and looked at the map, and then he found where the entrance to a black hole was, and he says, I think there. I think if I'm there, I can get onto the light channel. And then Clem Goodlight said, oh, I think we can do that. Okay, I think we can. So he looked at Squeaky Toy and he said, I have Suri Ningyo robots on. Thank you so much. I think I know where we are. Well, let's discuss this. What's the problem? So I have Suri Ningyo robots said one more time, well, I talked to the atmosphere drive motorbots and their chief, Happy Rob, said, no. We're mad at this driver. We're not doing it. And then I talked to the Graviton drive motorbots, and their chief, Cabal Rob, said, no, we're not going anywhere. We're really ticked off. And then I talked to the ion drive motorbots, and Billy Rob said, no, absolutely not. This guy was trying to go 7 times the speed of light, and that is too much for us. We won't do it. We're not going. Well, Tara Tomorrow O'Toole Talltale said, wait, did you give them a direct order to start? And Igglypuff went, woo, yes, I did. And they didn't start? No, they didn't. And Tomorrow Tool Talltale said, well, wait, don't they know the 3 laws of robotics? And Igglypuff went, whoop, which meant the what? The 3 laws of robotics, as devised by Dr. Isaac Asimov, the great Dr. Isaac Asimov. They don't know them? Well, here's the deal. In Janaka Palala, because of the way they devised their robots, they'd made robots that were basically single function, and they did things. And all of their machine beings were basically run by semi-intelligent robots, like the motorbots in the space cruiser. And the robots did what they had to do. So if you had a car, it would have a ground vehicle, as they call them. You'd have a little ground vehicle bot that would say, where do you want to go? And you'd give them the directions, and they'd go there. They didn't do other things like wash the car. They didn't do other things like go pick up the shopping for you. They just drove the car to where you had to get to. So that's how Janaka Palalans. But they hadn't introduced the 3 laws of robotics. Tara Tomorrow O'Toole Talltale just said, you don't have the 3 laws? That's what's problem. That's the problem with these robots. So Igglypuff said, whoop, which meant, what are the 3 laws of robotics? And Tara Tomorrow O'Toole Talltale said, any robotician can tell you. Number 1, a robot may not injure a human being or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm. Now, I suppose that would include strange space alien creature, so that a robot would not harm a strange space alien creature either, or through inaction allow you to come to harm. So look, your motorbots, because They didn't do what you told them. You could have been harmed. You what could have happened? Igglypuff's hair stood on end again, and he said, woo, 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 woo. He said, I don't know. If I had been abandoned in the light channel, I could basically be hung out in the light channel for centuries because nobody could find me, and I'd be out of energy, and I don't know. Fortunately, I popped out. Then she said, Well, here's the second law of robotics. A robot must obey orders given it by human beings, or I suppose space alien creatures, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. So, if you give a robot an order, but that means to hurt somebody, the robot can't take that order. So you can't tell a robot to turn off if it's going to hurt somebody. But if it is not going to hurt somebody, that robot has to do what you tell it. This is very, very interesting. Well, the third law of robotics is a robot must protect its own existence as long as that such protection does not conflict with the first or second law. So if you tell a robot that it has to run itself into a telephone pole at 150 miles an hour and they'll destroy it, it can't do that because after all. So if you tell the robots in your ship to go faster than 7 times the speed of light and that is going to destroy the robots, then they have every right to say, no, we won't do that. But that's only going over the speed of light. They should have said, no, we're going to stay at 5 times the speed of light because that is what's comfortable for us, and unless you give us time to burn our engines in, you're going to destroy us. Your robots need the three laws of robotics. How are we going to do that? Well, nobody in the room knew how they were going to teach these robots the three laws of robotics. And then Tara Tamara Talltale said, I wonder if I can reason with them. Do you think we can talk to them? Well, I don't know, said Squeaky Toy. They were pretty unruly to me. And Igglypop said, I don't know. I've never heard of teaching a robot anything. We just tell them what to do and they do it. So then Solomon Cuttlefish thought, well, can we reprogram them? Oh, what do you mean? Well, robots are controlled by code, aren't they? Computer code? And Igglypop, who of course was a mechanical engineer and electrical engineer, knew enough about programming to know that, well, yeah, you could. You could go into the operating system for the robots and you could probably change it, because that happens sometimes. Sometimes an ion drive motorbot would burn out, and then the software programs could go in and take a graviton drive motorbot and reprogram the graviton drive motorbot to become an ion drive motorbot. So he knew that was possible, but he had never quite done that before. Well, I think it is. That Igglypop, I think it is, but I don't know how to do it. So Solomon Cuttlefish said, Then he looked at Squeaky Toy and said, Squeaky, do you have any specs on the robots? And Squeaky Toy said, yes, sir. And then he replaced the Milky Way galaxy with the spec sheet for the robots. Igglypop almost dropped his teeth, if he had teeth. What? Because he didn't think this was on his ship. How did this get here? And I had Sir Ninja Robot just bowed and said, Arigato gozaimasu, Igglypop-san. This I took from your ship, too. Well, what he had was lines and lines and lines and lines and lines and lines of code. Of course, it was all written in Janaka Palalan, so Igglypop could read it, but nobody else could. And Igglypop could really read it because computer code is made for computer programmers, and computer programmers are an interesting group of people, and they have their own language, so you have to be nice to them. But they really, at any rate. But Squeaky Toy said, well, I have spec sheets too. And he brought up the spec sheet that were the drawings, and it showed how the motorbots were configured. Solomon Cuttlefish said, I can see that. I see how they're configured. Okay, well, this runs this way and that runs that way. And, well, you know, if we turn them off, you could probably rewrite the code to give them the three laws of robotics. And then, if we turn them back on again and booted their systems up, their software system would just load the three rules, and that would be basically their control functions. Igglypop said, which basically was, who, what? And then GP jumped in and said, I see what you're saying. Yes, yes, yes. See, look, this is the way each one works. Each one has a logic, and the logic is built in to its operating system. And the operating system tells each robot what to do. So if a graviton drive motorbot needs to replace an ion drive motor bot, I can see it. Yes, you just have to replace the code, the system code that talks about how to run the graviton drive and replace it with the ion drive. Well, is there any part in the code that talks about how robots have to act? And Igglypop went, woo, 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 which meant, well, there is a place that tells them about the manners, because they have to be polite and they have to know English, or Janaka Palalan in this case. They have to know Janaka Palalan so they can talk to us. So Solomon Cuttlefish said, Squeaky Toy, can you find that code? Well, Squeaky Toy looked and looked and looked and looked, and he just ran through. And then Igglypop said, wait, right there. And there was a line of code, and Igglypop started reading it. And that line of code was, commands for robot psyche. Oh, Tara Tomorrow Tool Tall Tale looked at that and said, commands for robot psyche. That's it. That's what they are. That's where their nervous system starts. That's where their mind starts. Oh, we have to be able to put this in. How can we do this? Well, Squeaky Toy was pretty smart, and he didn't know Janak and Palalan, but he could pick up patterns. And there are patterns in computer code. If you learn it, you can learn how to do it. It just like it has a put and a get and things like that, commands, which I'm sorry, William, I have no idea. But if you talk to your Uncle Isaac, he can tell you all about computer programming because he is a computer programmer, and he'd explain that all to you. So then they started talking about, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? So Solomon Cuttlefish looked at Igglypop. He said, Igglypop, can you shut down your space cruiser, or shut off the motorbots? We don't have to shut it down totally because you need to get into the main computers, but can you shut off the motorbots? And Igglypop said, yes, I can. We routinely shut them off for repair. Oh, and then can we turn it on again and we can boot the system up if we change the code? And Igglypop said, no. Oh, what do you mean no? Won't your space cruiser turn on? Igglypop said, well, no, because I wasn't long enough in the light channel to replace my energy. You see, when we're driving along, we use up a lot of energy to get into the light channel with the ion drive. And then typically when we coast in the ion drive, say at 3 times the speed of light, then the ion drive motorbots pick up the battery-operated consumption center, and it starts pulling in energy from the light channel, and then it fills up our batteries, and then when we land on a planet, we can take off again and drive around and use a graviton drive motorbot. Unfortunately, because I had tried to use so much energy going at 7 times the speed of light, I depleted the battery, and then I had to pop out of the light channel before I could replenish the battery. I don't have enough power. I could probably fly around the atmosphere. I could do that. I don't think I have enough power to switch on the graviton drive motorbots to get them to pull me outside your Earthwell gravity. Oh, that was a long speech for Igglypop. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And then Shui Huang just went, ooh, 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 which told him he was doing a good job. He was doing really great. His communicabobulator should be praised. So Solomon Cuttlefish said, And Clem Goodlight said, said, well, well, is there a way that we can replenish your battery? Igglypop looked at him and looked very doubtful. I mean, after all, these were Earthlings. They didn't know anything about batteries. But then Clem Goodlight said, well, I have a big solar array that we use when we go out to the desert with our telescopes, and they have to be battery powered. I wonder if I can pull that motor array. It's mobile. It's on wheels. I wonder if we can pull that over to your garage, Solomon, and maybe we can plug into the space cruiser. So Solomon Cuttlefish gave one more command to little Squeaky Toy. He said, I had Soy Ninja Robot. Do you think you can pull up a schematic for the space cruiser? We'd like to know how to put, if there's an external input, where we can charge the battery. And Squeaky Toy just smiled, because Squeaky Toy, he's an amazing little robot. He said, of course. And then, oh my goodness, Igglypop's hair stood on end again, and he started going, what? Because there came up the schematics for the space cruiser. Now, I have to tell you, this is kind of amazing, because nobody else on Earth has schematics for a space cruiser, but Squeaky Toy does. And Squeaky Toy pulled up the schematics, and you could see all the wiring. You could see the lines coming from the ion drive, the graviton drive, the atmospheric drive. You could see the dashboard control bot. You could see where everything worked. And then he tracked one line, a power line, from the battery to an external port on the space cruiser. And he zoomed in, and he looked at that external port, and there it was. And Solomon Cuttlefish said, oh, oh, and he looked at Clem Goodlight, and he said, do you think we can configure a fitting for that? Clem Goodlight looked at it and said, I wonder if we talked to the electrical engineering guys. Maybe they'd have something. Solomon Cuttlefish said, you know, I have some friends there. Let me go talk to them. Squeaky Toy, can you give us a picture of that? All of a sudden, out of the printer came a picture of the portal that would put power into the battery on Igglypuff's space cruiser. Igglypuff was like, his eyes were popping out of his head. His nose mouth was going, man, what are these alien space creatures up to? Because all of a sudden, here came a paper printout of the port on his spaceship. How do they do that? He couldn't figure it out. Oh, no. What kind of robot is this? He was quite impressed and quite amazed and quite dismayed all at once. And Solomon Cuttlefish said, okay, all right, I'm going to do this. Let me take this over to the electrical engineering guys. See if we can configure a little port switch. Then you can plug in your solar energy drive, Clem, and then we'll plug this into your solar energy drive and run it to the spacecraft and see if we can power that battery up. So Clem said, okay, I'm on it. I'll go get the solar power and bring it to your garage. And Solomon Cuttlefish said, good, I'm going to go to the electronics lab and see if I can get some of those guys to make this up. I think they can. This is pretty straightforward. They might have to be a little creative, but we'll go. And he took off. And he took off with Squeaky Toy. Because Squeaky Toy, after all, was was the expert, and he could actually help them with all of the specs. And then Tara Tamara O'Toole Talltale, who had never met Shui Huang Goodlight, said, ah, Shui Huang, the guys are gone. Why don't we go to lunch? And so the two of the ladies said, yes, we're going to lunch. So they went to lunch. And then GP looked at Igglypuff. He said, Igglypuff, old man, let's go home. I think we have some more talking we can do. I can pick up a couple pizzas on the way home. We'll make another big pot of coffee, and that'll be good. Igglypuff said, ooh, woo, woo, woo. Oh, thank you, kind alien space creature. I really like your coffee, and I like your pizza, and we can talk, and I can tell you all about what it's like to go to some of the planets in the Minwin Cholab confabulation again, and you can tell me all about your meetings with, what are those creatures? The trolls? And GP said, yes, I can tell you all about trolls because I've become an expert. So the two of them climbed into his truck, and Igglypuff had his big Stetson hat on, and he had his mask on, his medical mask, and he climbed in, and the two took off to GP's apartment. And it was mid-afternoon at this point, and the robotics lab was empty. And at that moment, who should show up but J.J. Johnstone? Because J.J. Johnstone had gone back to see his boss, Major Heinrich Himmelstein. And Heinrich Himmelstein said, I will not take, I don't know where he is, for an answer. I will not accept that. You go back to Washington Gumption University and track things down. If they had a big truck and showed up there, where would they go? J.J. Johnstone said, well, gee, I don't know. Where would they go? And Heinrich Himmelstein said, well, try the garage. So J.J. Johnstone drove back to Washington Gumption University, and he went to the garage. And then he talked to the Washington Gumption University maintenance crew. He talked to Wally Mongoose. He talked to Junior Bailiwick. And Wally Mongoose said, I don't know. I forget. A truck. But Junior Bailiwick said, oh, yeah, I remember. There was this funny guy here with a truck. They wanted to store an RV here, but we didn't have any room for it. And he pulled out his text, and he said, yeah, here's the text. They wanted to have an RV, but they didn't have any room for it, and here's a picture of the truck I took, but Clem Goodlight told me not to send that around, so I didn't. Oh, J.J. Johnstone said, well, oh, do you know where they took it? Well, gee, I don't know. It took off. I mean, they were talking to some guys from the robotics lab. Maybe they went there. Oh. So then J.J. Johnstone had a lead, the robotics lab. So he headed over to the robotics lab. And when he got there, nobody was there. Oh, they'd all left. Oh, another dead end. Well, you know, Captain J.J. Johnstone had been running around all day. He didn't want to go back to the UPCMP office and talk to Major Heinrich Himmelstein and said he had not found anybody yet. So he decided, I think what I'll do is I'll just wait. So he sat and waited, and nobody showed up at the robotics lab because they were all out doing other things. And finally, at 5:30, he left back for the office. But by that time, Major Himmelstein had left, and he was safe. And he wrote a report, put in his email, and sent it off. And he'd wait till the next day. Well, meanwhile, Clem Goodlight dragged the solar arrays, all the way over to Solomon Cuttlefish's house, which was actually not in Skedaddle, but it's east of Skedaddle, out in a little town called Carnatoon. And in Carnatoon, it was beautiful, beautiful little town, trees, Douglas fir, cedars, beautiful, beautiful river running through town. And he pulled it up to Solomon Cuttlefish's garage, and then he waited there. And then a little bit later, up drove Tara Tomorrow Tool Tall Tale, because she lived just down the street, with his wife, Shui Huang, who had just come back from lunch, and they'd have a wonderful time meeting each other. And they were talking, and they were having a great time. And then a little bit later, up drove Solomon Cuttlefish. And Solomon was so happy. He had Squeaky Toy with him. He was so happy, because you know what he'd done? He'd gone to the electronics lab. And those electrical engineers had looked at the schematics, and Squeaky Toy had put schematics up for them, and they looked at the motor drive, and they looked at the connection, and they said, oh, that's not a problem. We can make one of those. And they did. And they made a cable. And the cable would plug in to the space cruiser, and then plug in to the solar array, and then the solar array could fill the battery of the space cruiser. So they tried it. They all went into the garage, and they found the port on the side of the space cruiser, just like Squeaky Toy had told them it would be there. And they plugged in the connection, and it worked perfectly. And then they ran it outside to the solar array, and they plugged that in. And then they moved the solar array so it would take the sun for the rest of the day, and they let it go. And inside the space cruiser, the little battery indicator on the control bot dashboard started ticking up as the battery filled with power. Well, GP and Igglypop went home. They had a couple pizzas. They had a lot of coffee. They talked and talked. And then GP told Igglypop all about his adventure with the trolls, all about trolls, all about how trolls work, all about his going to see Mr. Glub and getting a new Jeep for Mr. Glub, all about the whole story. And Igglypop could not believe his ears that there were such strange space alien creatures on this funny little planet. But he was listening all he could. And meanwhile, he had his audio recorder going, and he took pictures of GP talking, and he was having a great time because he thought he could get home and write a book. Meanwhile, way out in space, way out in the Milky Way, Star-Lord Ankiwatera Epsilon-Aran's fleet was approaching the black hole. They were approaching the light channel. They were approaching